the virus becomes the cover story. This is what we're putting out here, and it sells. I mean, it's the biggest selling cover story in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
You're listening to The Corbett Report.
Welcome back to the program, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Today is the 5th of February, 2016, and today we are joined on the line by a guest that we haven't had on for a while, but I'm sure you'll be familiar with his work. I'm talking about none other than John Rappaport, and of course the link to his website is going to be in the show notes for this interview, where we are going to be discussing something that, well, a lot of people are discussing, but if you are relying on the misinformers of the lying mainstream media, you would be forgiven for believing some brand new virus emerged out of nowhere and is suddenly savaging its way across Latin America, eating the brains of babies or something along those lines, and it's coming for you! Be afraid, be very afraid, give up your power and control to the CDC and WHO, who are, of course, only there to take care of you, right? Maybe not. And to help us complicate that very simple but very incorrect narrative, we're going to talk to John about his recent work on this Zika virus phenomenon, the hype surrounding it, and the real basis or lack thereof of any real connection between this virus and what's happening in Latin America right now. He has been covering this extensively on his blog through a number of articles. I'll link you to the general category so you can go read through all of them, including Zika Freakout, The Hoax and the Covert Op Continue, a provocative title if ever there was one. John, thanks for joining us back on the program today.
Very good to be here, James.
Let's break this down for people. Let's get down to brass tacks. We are told there are 4,000 some odd cases of this microcephaly, this neurological disorder that these babies are being born with in Brazil right now. We're being told that there's a connection to Zika. We're being told that this is now spreading around the world. What do we actually know? What are the actual numbers on this?
Okay. So I have the latest numbers. Yes. Initially, it started with 4,100 and change, whatever. And these were said to be cases of microcephaly, which means babies born with smaller heads, brain impairment, brain damage from the entire country of Brazil. This is what we were told. And all of a sudden, it emerged out of nowhere, this report, as well as, and the cause is the Zika virus. Okay. Now, the latest is this. The Brazilian researchers have, so to speak, gone back into their work, and now they're really looking at it. And now they are saying that they have confirmed 404 cases of microcephaly in the whole country of Brazil, down from 4,000. But of those 404, you know, it could be, and they're saying this, some other kind of central nervous system impairment. So even that figure is dubious. But let's accept it, 404 cases of microcephaly in Brazil. Then they are saying that of those 404, they have found, quote, a relationship to the Zika virus in 17 cases. So what we have here is nothing. In other words, there was no reason to hype this as an epidemic in the first place, because of the numbers of cases. And there is no connection to the Zika virus, because people have to understand, if you as a researcher are going to say this virus causes that condition, and you are looking at live babies, cases, you should be able to find the virus in the overwhelming majority of those cases, if not all of them, in order to say this virus causes that condition. So they are saying 17 cases out of 404. That, in fact, is counter evidence. That is evidence that the virus is not causing this condition. And if you read the literature, the conventional medical literature on microcephaly, it's very clear that any insult to the fetal developing brain in pregnancy can cause microcephaly. That would be, say, a blow to the head, a blow to the stomach, a woman falls downstairs, exposed to a toxic pesticide or a street drug or any insult. And so, therefore, this is wide open. And not only that, but The literature is also very clear that every year in the United States, there are 25,000 cases of microcephaly. So wait a minute, you know, we're comparing here year after year, 25,000 in the U.S., nobody raises a peep. Now we're looking at 404 probable cases of microcephaly in Brazil with a population of 200 million. No connection to the virus, and we're told this is a worldwide epidemic. 1 million cases, we're going to see 3 million. And I'll add just one more thing here for my opening shot. When they say we are predicting all these millions of cases, you see, what they're simply saying is that the Zika virus could be detected by, say, an antibody test or some other test in people all over the world. Well, the virus was discovered in 1947. It could have existed on this planet for 100,000 years. Who knows? Gone around the planet a dozen times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. Could be everywhere. Typically, and you see this again in literature, never been considered significant, causes mild illness with few symptoms, no treatment. You just kind of grind it out for a few days and you're fine. So to say, oh, look, you know, this is going to be incredible with all these cases of Zika, that is completely deceptive, because who cares? Because there's no connection that's been found even remotely to microcephaly.
So let me just make sure I completely understand this. Of those 404 cases of confirmed microcephaly in Brazil since this outbreak supposedly started, only 17 of them, they've been able to confirm the presence of the virus in those victims?
Yeah, that's a good question. You see, they are calling it a relationship to the virus. Now, the New York Times has just published an article about this, where now the Brazilian researchers are saying, and this is really garbled, so don't expect it to make sense, that this number of 17 is really irrelevant because their tests would only find the Zika virus in a tiny proportion of cases. So what they're now seeming to be saying is, well, we don't really have the test to even find it, and therefore don't even pay any attention to what we're saying. It could be a lot more. We don't know. Now, it's, you know, there are tests. There are a number of tests that you can do, including direct virus isolation, and you use a centrifuge. There is a test where you remove a tiny bit of tissue and you put it under a slide of electron microscope. There's all kinds of tests, some good, some not good. But these Brazilian researchers seem to now be, to me, pleading ignorance, because this is not turning out the way the story is supposed to. So now they have to kind of dance around, you know, and make
it seem.
We can't
find the virus. We don't know.
I'm sure it's there, but we don't know.
Not surprising for people who've covered these types of stories over the past few decades, as you have. More on that in a moment. But again, just one more aspect of this that I want to make sure that I understand. Zika virus is not some brand new thing that sprang out of nowhere. This has been around for decades, and the symptoms of this have long been known and understood and have never included microcephaly before, have they?
Correct. Absolutely correct.
So suddenly we're being asked to believe, on the basis of no data whatsoever, that now it is suddenly causing this this wave of neurological disorders. Very interesting. Well, let's relate this to the past, put it in the context of similar scares that we've seen, even in just the past decade alone, that seem to be playing out in a similar way. I know you've talked about Ebola, you've talked about SARS, you've talked about the swine flu, all of which seem to play out in a similar way. What are the differences and similarities between these stories?
Quite similar, you know, quite similar. Virus not really implicated. Hype to the sky, threats of, you know, global decimation, and then the whole thing kind of fades out. And then there's usually an announcement, well, we were on the brink, but, you know, great public health service, you know, really kept it from spreading around the globe, and then on to the next one. But, for example, in the case of swine flu, because this is how that played out in the United States, In the fall of 2009, Cheryl Atkinson, who was a star investigative reporter for CBS News at the time, since resigned. Her computers were hacked at work and at home, and quite a story. She published a piece on the CBS News website, which indicated that in the summer of 2009, at supposedly the height of swine flu epidemic, the CDC stopped counting cases, period. How could this be? I mean, this is their main task, is to issue weekly reports on numbers of cases. And indeed, the CDC was hyping this epidemic and the dangers to the sky, get the vaccine, all of that. So she found out what was really going on, and it was the overwhelming number of blood samples sent to labs from diagnosed swine flu patients, or the most likely swine flu patients, were coming back negative for swine flu, no trace of swine flu or any other kind of flu. So this was, I mean, talk about scandalous. Here was the CDC saying, we've got a worldwide epidemic and there's just tens of thousands of cases in America and it's all horrendous. They had stopped counting. And that's because, you know, overwhelmingly, the blood samples showed absolutely no trace of swine flu or any other kind of flu. The article was published. Her editor told her that it was the most original article he had seen on swine flu. And then they tried to get it on the CBS Evening News, national news, which is the big time. And all of a sudden, it was shut down. And the whole story was shut down. And there was nothing more printed about it. Then my piece, 3 weeks later, as I've written, the CDC announces, deciding to double down, triple down, quadruple down, that in fact they estimate in the United States that there were 22 million cases of swine flu. You know, so, I mean, this is the length to which these people will go to continue to hype something that isn't even there.
Again, fascinating, bizarre. One can only imagine the amount of gumption it takes to put forward such a bald-faced lie and then double down on it like that. And yet, it was done, and it has more or less gone unnoticed by the general public, who have bought into it hook, line, and sinker. And we look like we're on the verge of yet another implementation of the same game plan. Here's something that I find exceptionally interesting that I haven't really seen a lot of focus on, is that in the official WHO announcement of the public health emergency that they've now declared regarding this matter, the official press release talks not only about microcephaly, which everyone is talking about, the neurological disorder, but Guillain-Barré, which, as far as I know, isn't that primarily a adverse vaccine reaction type of syndrome? Why are we suddenly looking at Guillain-Barré as being related to the Zika virus?
I have no idea. But yes, the reason that that phrase, Guillain-Barré, became famous was because back in the 1976 swine flu scare, when the president of the United States decided that everybody had to be vaccinated, and then later they found out that the whole thing was just nonsense, that it wasn't swine flu at all, and there were just very few cases anyway. And the whole thing was just a fiasco and a disaster. There were people who received the vaccine and, you know, suffered from Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it was extremely serious. So that's where the public became aware of this. Now, I looked at the literature. It seems like they're saying Guillain-Barré could develop for other reasons, but it certainly can be a vaccine reaction, no question about it.
Well, that, again, is quite instructive, because the 1976 swine flu vaccination program gone wrong, as if there was a way for it to go right, I suppose. 2009 swine flu scare, of course, generating a lot of vaccine-related profits. And in the outbreak of this latest Zika craze, of course, what is the first reaction that we got a couple of weeks ago was the U.S. is now scrambling to develop a new vaccine for Zika. obviously, there is a profit motive here. We can speculate about whether that's connected directly to this or whether they're piggybacking on the hype. But at any rate, it seems like there's a direct relation between these types of events and the vaccine industry, isn't there?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's you go left and then you go right. I mean, it's a dance. First, you announce the gigantic epidemic, and then you rush to develop the vaccine. I mean, it always follows that pattern. Now, they don't always come up with one. And there are statements that this may take much longer to develop a Zika vaccine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But no reason is ever given for that, you see. In some cases, it's like, well, it's a snap. We take the virus, we do this, and here's the vaccine. You know, in other cases, they say, oh, no, no, it's a difficult and so forth. But they don't say why. But yeah, sure, the profit motive is definitely involved, and we could speculate about a number of other things. But one of them, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, is Brazil is the largest user of pesticides in the world. Largest. And some of the pesticides that they use are banned in 22 other countries. So now we are talking about giant agri-farms. We're talking about Monsanto and Roundup. We're talking about atrazine. A very toxic pesticide, and I have found a study and summarized it where there was a connection drawn between that pesticide and microcephaly. So, you know, I operate by this point, having been around the block so many times, the virus becomes the cover story. This is what we're putting out here, and it sells. I mean, it's the biggest selling cover story in the world, as far as I'm concerned. It works fantastically. People are afraid. They're scared. You can create fear with talk about a virus. So therefore, that obscures why people are actually getting sick and dying from whatever the condition is. And we can go into motives and who's doing it and why, but I mean, that is a pattern.
It certainly is, and I think that's absolutely 100% something that we need to keep clear in our minds when we're looking at this, that the possibility exists at any rate, even if all these people are angels descended from heaven to look over public health and make sure that we're all healthy, they could still just get it wrong and be using this as a cover for their own ineptitude, at the very least. Another angle that I thought was particularly interesting that I know you've written about is the TDAP vaccine angle, talking about how as part of a public health campaign worrying about pertussis in young infants, the Brazilian Ministry of Health mandated in late 2014 the introduction of the TDAP vaccine for all pregnant women in Brazil. And lo and behold, you know, 9 months or so later, we start getting all of these reports of the microcephaly. Talk about the TDAP vaccine and its possible relation to this.
You know, I've heard and read, and trying to find out, recommended or mandated? I still am not clear. I know they recommended it in 2014 for pregnant women in Brazil. And of course, that immediately raises a red flag. But again, we come back to this. How many cases of microcephaly are we actually talking about in Brazil? Because if we're really not talking about that many, then the whole game is different. If there really were an outbreak, suddenly, you know, 4,000 cases and et cetera, yeah, I would be paying much more serious attention to this vaccine as a cause. However, I don't want to make light of this because this is a vaccine that traditionally, you know, it's been done in different ways, DPT, and this is now TDAP, and so forth and so on, has caused some horrendous effects in people. I mean, all kinds of damage and so forth. And so what I would like to do in this situation is to take this vaccine, the genetically engineered mosquitoes. There's been a pilot release of these in Brazil. Oxitec is the company. Bill Gates has put in a few million dollars into Oxitec. You know, these various other explanations, shall we say, and say, yes, these are things that we need. This is serious stuff here. No safety studies, of course, done before releasing these mosquitoes, and that's a whole other sort of nightmare. It's just like GMO food. Oh, we can introduce these crops without any safety studies because we know there's not a problem when there is. But to make the connection between that and the microcephaly, I always want to say, let's go back to the beginning. Let's make sure first that we know how many cases exist. And so far, we've got at best 404.
That's a good point, because, of course, we always see the alternative media scrambling around, taking the bait, as it were, just accepting that there is this microcephaly phenomenon, and then, yeah, and then just going up based on that and then speculating.
So, say that again like 100 times, yeah. You see. I've been urging people for years, please, don't get on the train at the beginning. Don't you see? They've got you if you accept their initial premises. That's how you get, you know, into these weird places. They tell you there's an epidemic. They tell you the cause. Please stop. Show me there's an epidemic. Show me you know there's a cause and how you know it before we go further, before we say, I'm accepting the premises, I'm accepting the story, and now I'm going to find alternative explanations based on my acceptance of the initial story. No. Question everything down to the bottom.
Well, excellent. Excellent point, and one that I hope we will all keep in mind, and I hope my audience in particular won't need to be told this, although there are new people tuning in all the time. So for people out there who are concerned about their safety, or maybe they're expecting a baby and they're wondering about something like this, what would you say to those people to alleviate their concerns, or at least something that they should be doing to try to counteract this type of panic that's going on right now?
I would say listen to our discussion 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 times, as many as you need, and then make up your own mind. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and give medical advice or any kind of advice to what people should do, but just listen to what we've been saying here. Compare it with what you're reading or seeing in major media and make up your mind rationally about this.
All right. Well, don't hit the panic button. Think about what you're being told. Look for evidence of what you're being told and proceed from there. That sounds like good advice for any situation, doesn't it? All right. Well, we'll leave this conversation there for today. Again, people can keep track of the latest on this through your blog. Again, you're at nomorefakenews.com. We'll throw in a link to your johnrappaport.wordpress.com blog as well, where you have a lot of different entries on this so that people can keep up to date with it. John Rappaport, thank you again for your time.
Thank you, James. Always great to be here.